Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Haven't brought it up last week. You were, of course, voted number one afternoon show, according to Barrett Sports Media, a group of 50 radio executives, a rising star in the field of meteorology. Let me get the list here. CBSSports.com, national college basketball insider and expert, analyst on CBS Sports Network TV and CBS HQ as well. Did I get the list right, and how are you?
More or less, it's right. I didn't see any mistakes in there. I'm doing well, and it is exactly because of that stuff that you listed, one job on top of another job on top of another job, that we're doing the show this way today. In the spirit of full transparency, and we talked about this before, there are times when I have to be inside the CBS Broadcast Center preparing for television before 6 p.m. Central arrives. And on those days, it's usually Tuesday and Wednesday, we sometimes, and perhaps often, record some of the show, if not all of the show, early so that I can do my jobs to the best of my ability, radio show, have it done, then get over here, do television deep into the night. Yesterday was one of those days. We recorded the entire show early, well aware that with the trade deadline approaching, it could be problematic. The truth is, in most of these situations, you'd never know the difference because literally nothing happens. If we're going to record between 2 and 4 o'clock, nothing happens between 2 and 4 o'clock that is going to make us change what it is I wanted to talk about in any given show. But there are a handful of days where you can't do it, or at least you're risking something. Obviously, during the NCAA tournament, you can't record early because stuff's happening in real time all day long. And the NBA trade deadline, particularly when Marc Gasol and Mike Conley are being shopped. And so we were well aware we were in a tough spot yesterday, and we prepared. The preparation was, let's just do the show, and then if anything significant happens, then just break in and take it and get Jeff and get me live and whatever, which is exactly what happened in early in the 5 o'clock hour after it was reported that Charlotte and Memphis were close on a deal with Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol was not going to play in the Grizzlies game. So you and Jeffrey and Jeff all pulled it together. I appreciate it and owe you forever. But rather than put ourselves in that situation again today, I emailed Brad at like 3 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, listen, you know, I'm happy to do it, but all it takes is one tweet from Shams, one tweet from Woj that happens at 3:45, 4:15, 5:05, 5:15, anytime in basically a 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock window, and we're in a bad place again. We're dated pretty obviously. And so rather than do that, we just said we'll do the whole show live, and I'll be here by phone inside the broadcast center for as long as I could be here. And then you've got tremendous guests lined up the rest of the day: Joe Mullinex, Jeff Calkins, and Jason Smith.
Well, you set this up perfectly because it was weird. We needed to go live because the report that first started this whole deal at about, you know, right after 5 o'clock was that Gasol might be traded. There's discussions with Charlotte. And then the next domino to fall was that we got the report that Gasol was not going to play for the Grizzlies. So let's just start with that. A weird night at FedEx Forum where Mark does not play, and then you've got all the stuff swirling, and then Mark shows up on the bench, and you get the hug moment. The car leaves in the third quarter, his car, from FedEx Forum. And now here we are, and he hasn't been traded yet.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to remember that the trade deadline is tomorrow.
Right.
It's not today. It's 2 o'clock Central tomorrow, and so nothing has to happen until then. And if the Grizzlies are still negotiating or even shopping for different deals, like they might have a deal in place with Charlotte that they're willing to do. Now, the report is not that. The report is that, and there's so many reports out there right now.
That's the problem.
It can be difficult to separate fact from fiction. I've got friends text messaging me throughout the day, like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, well, where'd you hear that? And they're just like, I saw it on a message board somewhere. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that's true or not. So I think you can trust Woj, and there's a handful of other guys you can trust. But not everybody who has a Twitter account is an actual source of information when it comes to the NBA trade deadline. But there is, let's just say, for the purposes of the conversation, the Grizzlies have a deal in place with Charlotte that they know internally they're willing to pull the trigger on if they can't get anything better. But in the meantime, right, they're going to keep talking to Utah and keep talking to Toronto and keep talking to whomever, with the understanding being that, okay, we'll do this deal, you know, tomorrow at 1:55 Central if we have nothing better. But in the meantime, let's keep working the phone. So you're not going to pull the trigger on it if that is your strategy until, you know, I don't know about literally the last minute, but as the final minutes of the trade deadline are approaching. As for what happened last night with Mark, I think it's completely sensible to not play him because, you know, if he were to go out and get hurt, then whatever the market is for him suddenly goes out the window, because anybody who would be doing a deal for Mark Gasol right now would be doing a deal to have Mark Gasol this season. You know, it's a team either
– it's a playoff team.
It's a playoff team. They want Mark Gasol this season. Yeah. So if he were to get hurt last night, and honestly, I think you could say the same thing about Mike Conley, it really does torpedo whatever your plans might have been. And so I'm not sure if Mark asked out of the game, mm-hmm, or if the Grizzlies pulled him out of the game, or if it was some conversation between the two sides and they ultimately left it up to him but told them what they wanted. But either way, the smart thing was to not play Mark Gasol. You gain nothing by playing him if you are leaning toward dealing him, and you risk something. It might be a minimal risk, you know, same type, right, of risk of crossing a street, you know, in traffic, yeah, but you're probably not going to get hit, but yeah, you can.
Well, we saw happened with John Wall the other day. You know, he's at home and he gets injured for a year.
Anything can happen. Yeah. You know, I'm not one of those that says thinks you need to be in a bubble at all times, yeah, because, you know, if not, you might get hurt. But yeah, when you are, you know, hours perhaps from moving somebody, I don't see the benefit of playing him in a game where he could get injured and make a deal collapse. So regardless of whether it was awkward or abrupt or whatever, I think it was the smart basketball thing to do to not play him. And then I did think it was a sweet moment when he came out and, mm-hmm, and got the ovation that he got. It wasn't some big montage on a video screen. It wasn't some big production.
Yeah, right.
It was just the fans recognizing that's Mark Gasol, and this really might be the last time we see him in this building as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's make sure we show him how much we appreciated him. And I know it had been better if it had been 18,000, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And the people who were in that building seemed to handle that moment properly, and Mark seemed to appreciate it accordingly.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask Jeff about that at 5 o'clock. Jeff Calkins was there, so we'll ask about that. Gary Parrish is live with us from New York City here on 92.9. So the Gasol move is interesting because you've got Mike Conley just playing his guts out for 30-plus minutes last night. So my question is that make it so that they're not serious about Mike? Is that why he's playing and Mark's not playing?
I think they're serious about both. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, done the things that they did to make this so public. But I don't know that they're determined to move both. And I'm not running the franchise, obviously, but if I were, I think I would be not necessarily determined, but very comfortable moving Mark Gasol for a variety of reasons. Most notably because he's in a walk year and he's probably going to walk anyway.
Right.
Unless he can't get anything close to that money, you know, in free agency, which I had somebody in the NBA tell me last night, he'd be crazy not to opt into that contract because ain't nobody else giving him $25 million.
No
I don't
question.
Know whether that's true. I don't know whether that's true or not.
That sounds
but
right.
I think if Mark can get a comparable deal, he's ready to walk. And so I don't think the worst thing in the world is losing him for nothing, but you would be losing him for nothing. And so if you can get a deal, not one that's a deal just for the sake of a deal, it's bad, but you'll do it because you just wanted a deal for the sake of a deal. I'm not interested in that. But anything that's somewhat sensible, I'm willing to pull the trigger there. I've never been as convinced that it's right or you need to move Mike Conley because he's got several years left on that contract. And I think you could reasonably say Mark might be in decline. Certainly his performance this season has suggested that. He's a 34-year-old large human being who's played a lot of minutes.
Yep.
They don't usually get better with age. But but Mike is still operating at an extremely high level, and last night was another example of that. And I don't know why the worst thing in the world, even if you're about to get bad and you're about to be a lottery team and you're about to go through a rebuilding process that at this point is unavoidable, I don't know why the worst thing in the world would be having a veteran point guard who is by all accounts, good in the locker room and obviously a good citizen, obviously somebody who has, embraced the city in a million different ways. And, we don't just know Mike, but we know his wife and we know his children. I know they don't live here full time, but they're very much a part of our community. If you follow his wife, Mary, on Instagram, you know that she is out and about in this, in our city and in the surrounding areas all the time. She really does,
she's all over. She was at the vet the other day when I went to Germantown to the vet. Like, she's in the community,
I'm just saying, I don't know why the worst thing in the world is having those people around.
Right.
And, again, if you get a deal that's sensible and it's the best thing for your franchise, then I think even Mike has said he understands this is a business. Go do it.
Right.
And he'll look back with fond memories. But if we look up Friday and the Grizzlies are in Oklahoma City and the starting point guard's Mike Conley and the starting big is Jaren Jackson Jr., that doesn't offend me in any way. I'm sort of on board, again, as long as it makes sense, with doing the Marc Gasol deal. I've never been 100% sure that moving Mike Conley is also the smart thing to do. And so I think they're serious, to circle back to your initial question.
Yeah.
I think they're serious about both. I think they probably were closer to an acceptable deal on Mark than Mike. I think they're probably more anxious to move Mark than Mike. But I still think it's possible both could be moved by tomorrow.
All right, we're talking to Gary Parrish in New York City. On Mike, I'm with you. Like, last night, he was thoughtful in the press conference. I mean, he seemingly has handled this perfectly. However, through the agent, and of course the agent probably is they're not talking publicly, but through his agent, Windhorst on NBA The Jump today on ESPN was saying he prefers to go to an Eastern Conference team. And I just think that's, it doesn't matter what the player thinks at that point, right?
No, when you're moving a player, you're unless it's very unique circumstances that I don't think apply here.
No,
you do what's best for the franchise, and if all things are equal, you've got two deals that are comparable, and you really could take you really don't see much difference between one and the other. Then maybe what a player who has meant as much to your franchise as Mike has meant, maybe what he wants matters, but. Chris Wallace, John Hollinger, whoever is handling this situation, would be insane to eliminate Western Conference teams from the discussions because Mike would rather be in the Eastern Conference. And I say this as somebody who is a fan of Mike Conley, point guard, is a fan of Mike Conley, the person, who likes him on a very personal level. But I think even Mike would understand if the Grizzlies are going to move him and the best package they can get involves a Western Conference team, then Mike's going to have to play for a Western Conference team.
Yeah, and I specifically, the tweet was about Utah. I guess Utah he would prefer not, but like you said, I don't think it matters what the player wants. But
Well, that's a little bit like, every year as the draft approaches, you hear about this guy doesn't want to go to this team, and, Lonzo wants to go to the Lakers. Even right now, LaVar Ball, Lonzo doesn't want to go to New Orleans. He'd rather go to Phoenix. Like, okay.
Right.
Thank you. But now the conversation's over. Right. We'll send Lonzo Ball to New Orleans or anywhere else we want to send Lonzo Ball if that's what we think's best for our franchise. Kawhi Leonard, you think he wanted to go to Toronto? They made it clear he wanted to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. And then the Spurs said, we're sending you to Canada.
Right.
There is a Isaiah Thomas in Boston. Think he wanted to go to Cleveland?
Yeah.
No, I mean, and that was like really rough in the sense
it was
that
brutal. Yeah.
I mean, the guy literally played, within hours of his sister dying in a car crash was incredible
was
for you. And once they thought they could upgrade, they moved him. And guess what? On one hand, it seemed heartless. On the other hand, it was the smart thing to do. You better be glad you did it if you're Danny Ainge. And so I think everybody understands this is big business. And And when you're running the big business, you do what's best for the big business.
It's 420. We're talking to Gary Parrish from New York City on 92.9. And then the big news this morning, of course, is the 76ers. They get Tobias Harris and get some, and then Clips, of course, get some assets. But this one really is why I think a lot of our listeners and Grizzlies fans are sort of perplexed, because the Grizzlies so publicly did this thing where there was sort of this float it to Woj and, oh, wow, our two biggest players are on the market. And then meantime, you've got the 76ers, who now have basically a big four, big five, who make this deal this morning, and there were no rumblings about that. I mean, I think there are some, and especially us on the radio station, who have said, did it have to be this public, you know, and does that screw anything up? Did that make it easier or harder?
I think it's made it, it's dragged out the process. You know, it to go back to the possibly poor analogy I was using yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the Tobias Harris deal was, and keep in mind, we're talking about sports, not real life,
right.
But the Tobias Harris deal was a car accident.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Everything just going wrong, and then boom, car accident, it's done, you're dead. You know,
yeah.
Like, that happens every day in this world, every day in our city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't plan for that, you don't discuss that publicly, it's just, boom, it's done.
Right.
The Mike and Mark thing was more like, hey, you've been diagnosed with this very serious thing, and you've got 2 weeks to live. So
yeah.
We spent 2 weeks talking about the end of Mike and Mark, and we joked about it yesterday. But it really has played out quite differently than the car accident example that would be just all of a sudden, boom, this deal is done.
Yeah.
You weren't, you know, publicly, nobody was expecting it. Nobody planned for it. Boom, it's done. And so that is evidence that you can do a deal that way,
mm-hmm.
That you don't have to announce to the world you're shopping your two franchise players, arguably the two players that have been more important to the franchise than any other, and turn it into to what it's turned into. But, I mean, at this point, it is what it is, and you can't unring that bell. Like I said before, it's not the way I would have done it, I don't think. But I don't think doing it – but if you were going to argue the other side of it, what you'd say is, you're exactly right. Mike and Mark are the two most important people to our players, to our franchise in history. And we would have preferred, I guess, for this not to be so public. But our priority was making sure Mike and Mark, before anybody else, know exactly what's going on. We felt like we owed it to them.
Yeah.
To be honest and upfront with them, and because what we didn't want to happen is what's happening in Toronto right now.
Oh, the Lowry stuff, yeah.
Where Kyle Lowry's name is suddenly put in all these deals, and Kyle Lowry's looking at us like, yo, what's going on?
Right.
We didn't want Mike and Mark to get caught off guard, mm-hmm. So we went to them, and then it became what it became. And perhaps if we could do it again, we'd do it another way, but our intentions were good. We were trying to do what we believed in the moment was the right thing. Again, I'd probably say, yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way, but I would have also, but I can understand that. And
right.
I think it's important to acknowledge that sometimes in life, not just in sports, but in real life, sometimes you can disagree with the way somebody did something,
yeah.
Because you can't comprehend why they would do it that way because you don't understand it.
Yeah.
Then other times you can disagree why somebody did something, but understand why they did it. I would put this in that category. It's not the way I don't think I would have done it, but I can understand why it was done the way it was done.
Well, and I you've talked about it, about coaching searches, you know, because coaches constantly are saying, I'm happy where I'm at, and they're sort of pandering until they take the next best job. I mean, it might be a byproduct of just how you get deals done in the NBA. For example, the Raptors, I mean, they dealt DeRozan, and, you know, I think like months prior and days prior, they were talking about how he was basically an untradeable player. So now they're just trying to figure out how to get a better point guard, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different ways deals get done in this league, and
right.
They often do become public in advance. The fact that the Tobias Harris one wasn't public in advance doesn't mean that the Mike and Mark one
right.
could have been, you know, also, you know, privately done. Most deals, I think, don't get done that in that way. So I do acknowledge it's interesting that while people and people on our station have been
yeah.
discussing the awkwardness of having such public,
mm-hmm.
trade possibilities for Mike and Mark, I do think it's interesting that while we're having these discussions, boom, you know, Philadelphia does a massive deal in the middle of the night that nobody was talking about even 5 minutes prior. But I'm not sure that happening that way means that this should have gone another way.
We've got a few more minutes with you, and we're talking to Gary Parrish in New York City here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to ask you a quick bullet point question later on the Tigers. I also want to get your thoughts on the late George Klein, who passed away, before you go. But one more thing on the Grizzlies. Bobby Marks, he said the entire roster is basically available except for Jaren Jackson. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, who else is the future of your franchise? Yeah,
I tried to think about it. I don't know.
other than Jaren Jackson. I mean, you can like Dylan Brooks, and I don't mind if Dylan Brooks is on the team, but Dylan Brooks is not going to be the difference going forward between you being one thing or another.
Yeah.
Even when he had a nice rookie year as a second-round pick for a bad Grizzlies team, I still was like, you know, I don't know that he's a building block. I mean, he's a nice rotation player, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's a centerpiece or even like a number two or number three guy to maybe not even a number four guy to anything good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would make Jaren Jackson like actually untouchable. Like, don't even ask it. Don't even say his name. But anybody else at this point, you'll listen.
Yeah. Except for like a Joakim Noah and his deal apparently is so you can't be traded. But, yeah, you get the drift, yeah.
Well, I mean, here's what I would say. Whenever the Grizzlies get good again, and it might be years,
right,
as sad as that is to say.
No, I think that's true.
Whenever they get good again, the only guy on the current roster who will have anything to do with it at the highest level is Jaren Jackson.
Right, right.
Nobody else on that roster will be a top four player on the next good Grizzlies team. I feel like that's a safe thing to say. And once you can say that, if you'll agree with me, then by definition, just make everybody else available and see what you can get. And don't, it doesn't mean that you're just selling everything.
Right.
But you know, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. But anything that does make sense, pull the trigger.
Grizzlies off tonight. They're in Oklahoma City tomorrow on 92.9. Last night, though, they win the game. And it was weird because, like, Minnesota, despite all of these young players and assets that they have, I mean, it was a weird loss for them, honestly, even though I was pulling for the Grizzlies. You know, Karl Anthony Towns looked good. But some of those players, it's very much like the Grizzlies in some senses, except they don't have pieces like Gasol and Conley at the top.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota is a team that, you know, still thinks it has a shot at the Western Conference playoffs. And if you think you have a shot at the Western Conference playoffs, you just simply put, you can't go lose to a Memphis team that's sitting Mark Gasol, that's been spiraling for weeks, you know, so badly that they're on the verge, perhaps, of moving Mike Conley and Mark Gasol when, literally just weeks ago, they were making deals to try to go to the playoffs. That's how bad the Grizzlies have been. If you're trying to go to the Western Conference playoffs, we've talked about this before. There are places in every schedule where games that might not be winnable become more winnable than they otherwise would for things that are completely out of your control, but you just benefit from them. It could be you're catching a good team on the second night of a back-to-back after you're rested.
Right.
It could be that a good team is resting a player on a second night of a back-to-back. Because it's the second night of a back-to-back, you benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, somebody, you know, turned an ankle, you know, two nights ago in Utah, and now you don't have to deal with them. And for the Timberwolves last night, you had one of those situations. Like, we're going to play Memphis, but because they might have a deal in place for Marc Gasol soon, they're not going to use Marc Gasol. So their starting lineup is going to be Ivan Rabb, Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, just like some guys.
Right.
Mike Conley, Jaren Jackson Jr., and some guys, like G League guys in some cases.
Truly.
Like, we got to go win that game. Yep. And for you to not be able to go win that game, it probably means you're not going to get where it is you're trying to get to.
And then a couple of bullet points. I know you got to go. We're in New York City. We're going to get to Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues in just a second, and Jeff at the top of the hour. But first, before you go, quick Tigers news. Damian Baugh via Twitter announced he has a final three schools. Damian is the Team Thad player, top 150 kid. He's a guard. It seems like we have a million guards on this roster. TCU, one of the finals listed on the graphic. Texas Tech, and Memphis is the third one, expected, I guess. But Damian Baugh adds to quite a long list of guards. Do we need this many guards, and what are your thoughts on Damian Baugh?
I don't want to say you can never have too many guards, but, good ones are I don't think Memphis is at a place right now where they got so many great guards they don't need to take any more.
Right.
You know, I'm excited about the future of Tyler Harris. I'm excited about the future of Alex Lomax. I'm excited about the future of Antoine Jones. But, you know, those are guards who were just a part of a team that got down 27-1 at USF. You know, like, there are programs around the country that maybe don't need to take quality guards, but Memphis doesn't fit that list. And so, you know, I haven't seen Ball a lot, but I know he's talented, and the fact that those are the offers in place underline it. The connections are pretty obvious to pick out. You know, Memphis is Memphis. TCU is Ryan Miller's on staff there. That's Mike Miller's brother. Ryan has recruited Memphis effectively for years. He's the reason Jalen Fisher ended up at TCU. And then Glenn Ciprin, of course, who's former Memphis assistant, former Grizzly scout,
yeah,
former Hustle G League coach, is on Chris Beard's staff at Texas Tech. And so every staff has strong connections to Memphis, or at least a strong connection to Memphis. And so that's a very reasonable top three to me.
Tigers and number 25 Cincinnati at FedEx Forum tomorrow night. Hopefully we can actually get a good start, because we're actually playing a game at home this time. And what would be, I guess this would be a quadrant one win for them if they could get it done, right, Gary?
Well, I'm not sure where Cincinnati is in the net, but I can tell you momentarily. But it would be
on ESPN2, by the way, if folks want to watch it.
I would assume that Cincinnati is, 25th in the net. So, yeah, it would qualify as a quadrant one victory, which is the best kind of victory you can get as it relates to the selection committee. Now, as long as we're being honest, it's probably not going to matter on Selection Sunday how many quadrant one wins Memphis has, because they're probably not going to be able to build a resume that gets serious at-large consideration. But, you know, maybe they can, and certainly if they are to do that, you know, getting a home game against Cincinnati is a not a great place to start, but a great place to continue. More than anything, I think it does this if you can beat them. One of the things I've said multiple times is that Memphis is not going to be a significant favorite to anybody inside FedEx Forum in that AAC tournament. And what, because people aren't that bright sometimes, what that's got twisted into, because I'll have somebody tweet it to me, when Memphis is down 27-1 to USF
right,
or 22 points to Tulsa, they'll say, oh, yeah, Parrish has told us last week that Memphis could beat anybody in the AAC. Mm-hmm. Not what I said. Here's what I said. I said that Memphis will not be a significant underdog to anybody in the American Athletic Conference tournament that's played inside FedEx Forum, because it's going to be played in FedEx Forum. And that's not even an opinion. It's a fact. You know, the KenPom projections line up with Vegas pretty much every day. And for tomorrow night, they've got Cincinnati as a 3-point favorite over Memphis. Houston would be a slightly bigger favorite over Memphis. Actually, KenPom projects Houston as a 3-point favorite over Memphis inside FedEx Forum right now as well. Mm. Well, those are the two best teams in the league. And so Vegas might bump it up, or the money that comes in initially on the game might bump it up to 4 or 4.5 or whatever, but it will not be a significant number. And so that's the best thing the program's got going for it right now, is that it gets to try to get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament with presumably three wins on their home floor, where it does not matter what combination of teams they have to play. They will not be a significant underdog to anybody, Houston, Cincinnati included, and I think tomorrow night is going to be an example of that. So let's go win a game then.
Yep.
And then if you're Penny Hardaway, I think you can reasonably sit down with your team that's been going the wrong direction lately and say, we've beaten the team that was picked to win this thing. We've beaten the team that was picked second to win this thing and is currently 25th in the net. We can beat anybody in this building. Now let's go see if we can beat somebody on the road.
Yeah.
And then let's just always remember, no matter what happens between now and the opening day of the AAC tournament, we can beat anybody in this building. And when the time comes, we're going to win 3 games in this building and go to the NCAA tournament. Regardless of the ups and downs between now and then, you're always going to have that to sell, which is forever going to make the season interesting until it's not.
The most interesting thing I was looking at is last year's game. I went to that was the only game I went to last year with my son, because it was the game where they doled out free tickets so they could get the attendance barely to 12,000 people, you might remember. And that's the announced attendance. So it was probably like 9 or 10 by the time they stacked the deck a little bit. And then you look at this year, regardless of what's going on the floor, it's like, you know, there'll be 15,000 people at that game. It's just it's like night and day, really, you know?
Well, I mean, it's everything connected to the program is night and day.
Yeah.
It's why we spent all last year talking about you had to make a coaching change, because there were some, you know,
people you had to. Yeah.
Out there talking about, well, you know, it's a process and you have to build it and it takes time. No, it doesn't. Stop saying that. That's a lie. And what's happening right now is proof that that was always a lie. Only dumb people believed it. There was a way to flip the program overnight, and it was to do exactly what they did. Fire the disaster, hire Penny Hardaway. Immediately, you get a building that looks like it's supposed to look, recruiting that looks the way it's supposed to look, and an on-the-court product that will, if not right now, soon enough, look the way it's supposed to look.
And then the final thing, Gary Parrish is with us from New York City, that I wanted to ask Gary about. You and I obviously spent some really quality time with George Klein, worked with him here at the radio station for a few years. You know him probably better than I do, having grown up in the area and talking basketball with him, because he was a huge Tigers basketball fan. And I've read about him a lot today because everybody's remembering George Klein, who passed away last night, as was announced. Priscilla actually was on Twitter, one of the first to announce it. And he would talk Tigers basketball with John Calipari and Josh Pastner and the coaches. He loved basketball, obviously, was a local radio legend, television, did the dance party, and he knew you. He would even, I would even see him come into your studio and talk basketball with you. Just what were your memories like of George, and what were your thoughts when you saw the news last night, Gary?
Well, obviously, my first thoughts are, you know, it's sad, because he really not only was an icon in our city and on some level around the world, obviously to Elvis fans, and there's, you know, millions of them literally around the world. He was just a good man and someone that I did consider a friend. Obviously, there are people who are older than me who knew George much longer than I knew George, but I did know George for about 20 years. You know, I don't remember where our friendship originated, although there's a couple of obvious places. He would have the George Klein Christmas party every year, mm-hmm. and my friend Jason D. Williams would often play it. And so I was around, you know, George way back then, even Priscilla and Lisa Marie one night way back then. And then when I became the Tiger basketball beat writer, George was often at practice. Those John Calipari practices were always interesting because you'd have just an incredible cast of characters there. You know, it'd be the team and the coaches, obviously, but then like sitting on the sideline, you know, just like with me,
yeah.
sitting in chairs off to the side of the court, you know, on any given day, you'd have George Klein
Cowboy.
Right there. And then you'd have Worldwide West
yeah.
right beside him. And then you'd have, you know, Ken Bennett
yeah.
From Streets Ministries right beside him. And then you might have an agent,
yeah.
you know, from CAA. Leon Rose might be there. You know, then Larry Brown might be there. It's just yeah. always. But George was he was there often. And so he loved talking basketball more than anything in this world. And so I can't tell you how many hours I've spent talking basketball with GK over the years. And beyond all that, you know, my mother and George worked together for many years down at Horseshoe.
Oh, okay.
And so every time I'd see George, he would, "How's Jackie doing? You know, how's Jackie?" You tell Jackie, yeah. you know, after he left Horseshoe, "Hey, you tell Jackie I said hello." And so he was really always kind to my mother and always kind to me. And, you know, I was thinking last night about all these times, and there was, I can't remember if this is right, but I feel like he used to record whatever he would record in our studio.
Yeah, the Elvis Thursday. Hour, sure, yeah.
I feel like he would do that on Thursday.
Yep.
And the reason I think it was Thursday is because when I first started traveling back and forth to New York every week, and I promise I'll shut up in a second, when I first started traveling back and forth to New York every week, for whatever reason, the original travel coordinator with CBS Sports used to fly me out of White Plains. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. She subsequently got fired because she was so disastrous.
I didn't know
any better. And also, like, this is where my background sort of comes into play. Like, I'm a public school kid from Mississippi, and now they're flying me to New York to stay in nice hotels. I don't care if they're sending me to White Plains or anywhere else. I'm never going to complain about anything.
Yeah.
But those flights, I'd get out of studio at 2 in the morning. Card picked me up at 4 in the morning. I'd be in White Plains by 5 in the morning. I'd board a plane, have to go to Atlanta. Then I'd get back, fly into Memphis. I literally have not slept all night, maybe 30, 40 minutes on a plane. And it never made sense for me to leave the airport, go home, and then come back to the studio. So I would just come straight to the studio, and GK was always there. And I was so tired. I couldn't even hold my eyes open. And I'd still be in a two-hour conversation with George about Tiger basketball. And I loved every minute of it, even though I was exhausted. And so I have so many memories of him, as everybody in the market does. And
what are they doing with my Tigers, Gary?
Yeah. So how you think Josh is doing?
What do you think is what he's doing here?
Yeah. So they gonna get any more players? I mean, he was always to me much more than Elvis's friend, which is the way he gets described often, because he was literally like Elvis's best friend.
Yep.
But to me, he was. I just thought it was cool to know George Klein, and for every conversation I ever got to have with him was a good one that I'll remember for a long time. I'd love to have another one with him, but this is the way life works.
Gary, I appreciate your time, man, and thanks for sharing the memories and the news, man. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.